I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I forgot how sexy your fucking voice was, didn't I? Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I am joined by West End legend, soap stud, and proud owner of the sexiest voice in Britain. It is, of course, none other than TV legend Darren Day.
That's like the best intro I've ever had. My favourite bit was soap stud. I really... Oh, and legend was good. I get called veteran now, and I'd much prefer legend.
Oh, no, you're far too young to be a veteran. Let's stick with legend. At least I will today.
Appreciate that.
How are you, Petal? Thank you for coming on and joining me.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. I'm okay. I mean, it's, you know, like for all of us, this second lockdown for me has not been easy.
Nah, I mean, it hasn't.
I mean, all right, okay, of course, the whole of last year, you know, for a year, it's been crazy for everyone, but I don't know what it is. I just don't know if it's like because it keeps going on, or if there's a carrot dangled now and there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but we're not sure if it's going to happen, or if it's the weather. Because you remember, Vic, like last year, like it was like a heaven sent that weather for that time of the year. And one, obviously, it cheers you up to see the sun, but two, the virus struggles to survive in the hot weather. So,
of course.
But this time, you know, and there's only so many times you can cut the grass for something to do, you know? I've mended doors, door handles. I've never done anything like that in my life, but I'm just like, just give me something to do.
I am so with you. Like, I put up a post on Instagram the other day and I was like, this lockdown has been so fucking long. I've got into shape and got back out of it. Like, I swear to God, like, it's just felt never ending. And this last one in particular, I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's been dark. It's been dreary. And I think that just, it honestly totally affects your mood. It affects mine anyway.
Oh, completely. Absolutely. I mean, I was quite lucky, really. And also in the last one, I did pretty much near the beginning of the lockdown. I'm going to sound like I'm dropping a name now, but it's only just because of what happened. But Andrew Lloyd Webber called me. Lord Lloyd Webber. Thank you.
Oh, feel free to drop names
Sorry,
don't get a lot of that on VP The Secret too.
No. And also, I mean, the reason I can say it is because he hadn't spoken to me in years. So anyway, he called, said that they were doing an online concert of Joseph and they were getting 30 members of previous casts of the West End and the tour together. So I played Joseph again at 51 years old, which obviously I never thought I would do. And then straight after, I got a call from Stephen Schwartz, who wrote Godspell and Wicked, and asked me to play Jesus in an online concert of Godspell. Now, I did think that when I was on the, you know, at the end, I'm going to go up in fucking flames here. Darren Day, really? As Jesus? Fuck me, that is stretching the imagination, isn't it? So I did the Joseph thing, which took a couple of months, Zoom rehearsals, recordings, people coming to the house, we're recording stuff, setting up at the end of my lounge, me at the other end with the microphone, masks on up until singing. It was all crazy, but it was something to do. Then the Godspell thing was 3 months. So I did a lot. Then I narrated a sitcom online, but Don't get me wrong, I was really happy to do it. It was all for a charity, mm-hmm. for a couple of mental health charities, which was amazing. But it don't pay the bills, does it?
No, mate. I've done a couple of jobs, right? Like, I remember doing The Hunted years ago now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on Channel 4. And honestly, yeah. it's so intense. And like, I remember like asking the agent, like, you've got to ask it. We're all just trying to live, aren't we? And I said, so what's the fee? It's 2 weeks, you know what I mean? Like, it's 24 hours a day. You don't get your phone. You can't do anything else. And she was like, it's completely free. It's for stand-up cancer. I was like, all right, okay. Well, of course, once they've thrown the stand-up cancer and you've got to do it, you feel so bad. But you think, shit, well, that's 2 weeks of my life. I'll never get back.
Exactly. It's absolutely true, isn't it? And I mean, for work for us, and particularly for people in theatre, which has always been primarily my sort of main thing. And my theatre tour of the UK and Europe has just been postponed for the 8th time. We were due to open in London last April, and then it was postponed and postponed, and then we've just found out that it's not going to open until January 2022.
Dan, I'm so sorry to hear that, mate. And no doubt, like, the fans and the people who got tickets will be gutted as well. Oh, it's just not but been a good year for theatre, has it?
It hasn't, but I can't tell you what it is just yet. But yeah. I will come back on and tell you, or I will let you know. But I've just been offered a really, really nice role in theatre today, literally this morning, which will start in August. For rehearsals and opening September. So it's literally coming today, and I can't tell you, you know what it's like, Vic. You go through a career and you get a little bit blasé about things, and, you know, for many years, I went from one show to another. I had my Saturday night television deal. I had a record deal with RCA with Simon Cowell, and you kind of, but I think what's happened in this last year, I have never appreciated being offered a job so much as I appreciate it today, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally get it. Like, you're so right. You hit the nail on the head. I think we've all become aware that in the last couple of years and last 10 years, whatever, we've been racing through life, right? Like, I know I have, like, just not appreciating what I've got, not even being truly grateful for the great jobs or the great experiences or the lovely people I've got in my life, because all I'm thinking about is the next thing. I've got that now. Where's the next job coming from? Or I've moved in with my boyfriend. When are we getting engaged? Like, I always want the next thing. I'm not stopping to smell the roses, to be grateful for all of the lovely things I've got. But exactly what this year has taught me is that it's so important to just take some time for yourself and take your foot off the gas a little bit. And then when the good things do come in, you are so grateful and you do truly appreciate what you've got. That resonates with me, Darren, properly. And I'm sure there's loads of people as well.
I think you're right, yeah. And the other thing that I liked, I mean, I don't think it's happened so much in this lockdown, but when it first started last year, you know, you have to queue up for the shops and stuff. What was really lovely about it, was, you know, you stand in the line and you go, how you doing? All right. And everyone would speak. And then, like, coming out on your doorstep, NHS clap on a Thursday night. And you ended up speaking to neighbours across the road, albeit, but that you would have probably never bumped into before. And so there was a sense of camaraderie, I think.
Yeah. That little community feel that you don't often get, do you, anymore?
No. It'd be nice to think that it would stay like that to some degree when life goes back to some kind of normality.
I think it's nice though, Darren. Like, we've had loads of people on the pod recently and everyone is fucking sick of lockdown. Everyone's miserable as sin. Like, and I get it. Boris is every bastard under the sun. Like, we've had it all. And I'm completely empathise with everybody because I'm not exactly having the nicest time either. But it seems as though you've got a lot of positives have come out of lockdown as well. Like, you said the community vibe. No, you know what I mean? Like, you haven't got some great job offers and stuff. Have you found some positives have come from lockdown for you?
Yeah. I mean, all of those, obviously, but... And I've talked about this before. I hope I'm not being too controversial here, but yeah. I had a relapse because I'm in recovery. It's pretty much known across the bloody country. It's well documented. But when I was a week away from Footloose, that was the musical I was going to be doing.
And I was you going to play? I love Footloose.
So the Reverend, you know.
Yes! Iconic! I love him!
It was me and Gareth Gates. Gareth Gates was going to play Wilbur. And we were 1 week away from rehearsals when everything was pulled. Yeah. And I kept it together for a couple of weeks, but I'm not going to lie, I've never really gone out and shared my sobriety time until lockdown, because I relapsed at the beginning of the lockdown. And it shook me so much that I got back into sobriety like I did at the beginning. I got into AA meetings, yeah. NA meetings on Zoom and everything like that. And I was 10 months sober the 13th of this month. I was 10 months.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And so the biggest thing to come out of lockdown for me personally, which has to be more important than any of the career stuff, is that I'm now a month and a half away from being a year sober again. So that's the big one, you know, because without sobriety, then my career's gone, my family's gone, my partner, you know. So yeah, and it's ironic really that I should have got stuck into recovery like never before when there's no work. Fuck all to do every day, you know, because for an ex-addict, having fuck all to do and no structure day is a fucking disaster waiting to happen. But for some reason, I've done it, and it's made me think that if I can do it under these circumstances,
yeah,
then I hope that I will be all right once things all go back to normal.
You know, I think there'll be so many people out there listening to this who've gone the opposite way down, like, who have fallen off the wagon because, like you say, there's no structure. They're not getting up and going to work in the mornings. Like, they're not going out and saying that they're not being kept busy. And I properly believe the devil makes work for idle hands. Like, I really do believe that. So I think you've got to, like, I know you've just got to give yourself real credit for this last year, because that's incredible. And I'm so proud of you. I feel a bit tearful, Darren.
Bless you. But the other thing that happened, and again, I know it's a little bit of a controversial subject, but I have gone out there and talked about it. It took me longer to think about this than it does to think about talking about addiction. And I'm, you know, people contact me on social media all the time who are struggling with alcohol or drugs, and I do my best to help everybody. But the other thing that sort of happened during last lockdown that wouldn't have happened had I been on tour was I was diagnosed with bipolar 2 in October 2018 and put on the right medication for that. But then at the beginning of last year's lockdown, I was diagnosed with a thing called BPD, which is borderline personality disorder. Okay. And I was misdiagnosed from 2005 to 2018, put on all the wrong meds. Life not only didn't improve anything, it made things so much worse. Yeah. And so because I had this time on my hands to have all these tests done, I've been on the right meds for the last year, and I've never felt more in control and better, and you know what I mean? But I would, I'd never have had time for those tests to be carried out in London had I been touring all over the country. So
of course.
There's some really big positives that have come out of lockdown for me, and I do feel really great, lucky for that.
Mate, like, this is what I'm saying, though. So it's so easy to whinge about the last 12 months, and it's so easy to remember the dark times and the hard moments and the not seeing your family and friends, and I get all that. But actually, like, there has been some real, like, real nuggets, some real glimmers of hope and lovely breakthroughs that people have had. Like I said about myself, I've realised I was probably going a bit too fast, not appreciating the lovely things. But for you, the outstanding changes in you and the positives that have come from lockdown are just so obvious. I'm so pleased for you, Darren. So let me just get this all straight. So you've got bipolar disorder, which was diagnosed about 3 years ago.
Yeah, honestly, there's a list. I don't know if your podcast is long enough. But as my shrink says, and my therapist, I am apparently, my psychiatrist said to me last year, mm-hmm. I don't like the phrase borderline, because it suggests that you're not really anything. He said, but actually what borderline means in mental health is that you're borderline fucking everything. So I sort of, honestly, I score on the spectrum with other stuff as well. But I do think that these little disorders and these little kind of problems in the wiring up, they can have a good effect in other ways. You know what I mean? Like for a performer, I think they give me a creative side that is positive, but in having that, I have to put up with the fucking voice in my head that that says I'm a shit person and that I'm
inner critic.
Constantly in my, you know, I go on stage, it's like, you're shit, you shouldn't be on, you know, I mean, look, don't think I'm mad, I don't actually hear a voice, but it's like those thoughts come in.
Yeah.
So, you know, through the last year, I've really sort of been helped to deal with all that, and the meds have, you know, I'm in a good place now, and I'm really grateful.
You look great, and like, it's so nice to hear after all of these years of like sort of bungling diagnoses and diagnoses. Is that the plural of diagnoses?
It's a bloody good question. Unless it's like cactus and it's cacti, diagnosi.
Diagnosi. Oh, I would really like it if it was. But it seems as though like you've got everything now sorted and you know what's going on. Do you feel really liberated in a way?
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, you know, obviously, you know Scotty T, right?
Yeah.
So I did Big Brother, got in 2016, and you know, there've been many periods in my life when I've got through all right, and you know, I got through 31 days in the Big Brother house without a drink.
You want a fucking medal for that, mate? Oh, that man, deserves honestly a medal. I couldn't do it.
Tell you what, like at 9 o'clock. When Big Brother announced that the drinks were coming in, go to the storeroom, I sat there and thought, oh, fuck me. Now I've got to sit with my ginger ale while everyone else gets fucked. They all want to jump in the swimming pool at fucking 3 a.m. and I fucking don't.
And there was some big partiers, wasn't there, Darren? There's some big partiers in your series. That must have been really, really painful at times for you.
Oh, my God. Honestly, I admit. It felt, I mean, I did The Jungle, first ever series. Yeah. I found The Jungle a million times easier than The House. Yeah. But it's so, to quote Gemma Collins, claustrophobic. She's making a fucking fortune out of my name. I'm now an Easter egg. I'm a COVID mask. I'm a handbag, fucking scarf. I'm a jacket.
You're a fucking mug, mate. Like, you didn't coin that. I'll tell you that for now.
I was even a Christmas fucking bauble. Christmas bauble, now fucking Easter egg. I mean, I never thought I'd be, but I am.
She immortalised, you know. I mean, as if you weren't known for enough beforehand. That comment from Gemma, like, I've got a hoodie somewhere with it written on, Darren. I nearly wore it today, and I was like, no, Vicky, that's too much. You'll think you're going to go full Kathy Bates. But I was creased, Darren. It was amazing.
I mean, she's just moved into a new house, bought a new house. She sent me a video a couple of weeks ago, showing me all around the ground, and then she went, you fucking bought this for me, Dal. I'm like, I bet I fucking did. I bet I did. But it's weird. It's weird how that happened, because it was, you know, it didn't come out till last year, and it was 2016. And I remember the day because Gemma had been fucking about and pissing people off or something. So they brought this cage in.
Yeah.
And Big Brother said, if Gemma doesn't get in the cage, you're all going to lose hot water for 3 days. Now, it was the beginning of January, when the water was cold in that shower. It was fucking cold, you know. So we begged, everyone was begging Gemma to get in. She was going, nah, won't get in the cage. So I'm called into the diary room, and Big Brother says, Darren, will you speak to Gemma? I went, why me? She said, well, you're like the dad of the house. I went, how the fuck did I become the dad of the house? I would have been the absolute fucking mental case a few years ago. Anyway, I went over to her and I said, Gemma, please, for us all, please just step in. Went, I'm claustrophobic, Darren. Well, someone put it up as like as a meme at the beginning of last lockdown, you know, lockdown, claustrophobic, kind of the link there. And I get, like, when I walk down Brentwood High Street, Vic, people go, I'm claustrophobic, Darren. Or they stop and they go, will you do a message into my phone and say claustrophobic, Darren? I'm like, fucking hell.
You want to charge for that, mate? Like, you're missing a trick. I'm not even
I've played
joking.
The London Palladium, and now I'm more known for fucking claustrophobic, Darren, than anything I've ever done. I sung with fucking Queen, for fuck's sake. But no, I'm fucking claustrophobic, fucking mask, handbag, Easter egg and Christmas bauble.
Right, like, I know you are so successful, so famous. I've done a million different things. Like, feels like you've had about 9 lifetimes, everything I was looking at when I was researching you. But I do have to ask about Big Brother. I agree with you, mate. Like, a couple of years before I did The Jungle, I sat and had meetings for Big Brother. And I was excited. Like, at the time, I was just dead excited to be asked to do anything. Like, I was still in Geordie Shore. Not many people knew who I was. And it was such a compliment. But even sitting in the meeting, I thought I was getting a bit of anxiety, and I just thought this isn't the show for me. Like, yeah, I remember thinking in this environment, trapped with what, like 15 people sometimes that
have all got massive, it was 16 yeah, of us, yeah.
Jesus, babe, like, and you've all got such big personalities. Like, in particular, your year, Christ, that was probably why it was so memorable, because it was so explosive. But yeah, I just remember thinking,
Guest, do you remember the David Guest thing when David Bowie died?
No, there was just so many moments. Like, I've just got this image of Gemma running in the back garden with that little Shetland pony man as well. Do you remember that?
I know, Scotty looked out at the mane of the pony, and he went, fucking hell, he said, she's got this pony's got the same hair as the fucking Gemma has. And when you looked, it actually was exactly the fucking same. They must have, you know.
Grade A horse hair, only the best for Mrs. Collins.
Oh, God, Vic, I can't tell you. It felt like I was in there for 6 months, and I was so grateful to it, because, you know, back in the day, I was crucified by the press for a long, long time. A lot of the times I loaded their guns for them, absolutely admit to that. Yeah. But I didn't think Big Brother would go well for me. And I had a very sort of emotional farewell with my family, my kids. And then on the way down to London, I thought, you know what, you'll probably see him in 5 days. Because I really thought there's a good chance.
Did you know?
Well, no, I know. But every time it gets to an eviction, right, and every time you're kept in, you have that moment of elation and think, oh, God, it's so nice that the public are keeping me in. And then you think, fuck me, I've got another 5 days in it.
It's a double-edged sword.
Double-edged.
It's a proper double-edged sword. But you did show, like, for me, like, my point was just, I think I was really shocked, Aaron. So I actually went in that series, you know, like, I came in right near the end and did Ryland's Big Brother's bit on the side.
Oh, but while I was in there?
No, I think it was right at the end. And honestly, yeah, so I got there. Do you know what the thing that shocked me, Darren?
What?
How small it was. How
the
small?
House?
Yeah.
Fuck me. Yeah. Honestly.
They make it look like a compound on the telly, don't they? Like sprawling great big rooms. Like, yeah, you could go, if someone was annoying you, you have somewhere to hide. You've got nowhere to hide in there, have you?
No, there's nowhere. There is absolutely nowhere to hide. And a lot of the times, there'll be things being set up in various rooms. So sometimes they'll close the bedroom off, or sometimes they'll close the garden off. So sometimes you'll either be stuck in the garden if the house is closed off, or you'll be stuck in the lounge bit if the bed. So it wasn't even like most of the time that everywhere was goable to, if you know what I mean. And also, here's another thing that was interesting when I found out. Psychologist on the show, who we had to speak to on the day of going out through a speaker of the final, the night of the final, the six of us had to speak to him. And he told me that it's almost military. It's almost a military operation in the fact that where certain things are placed and the colour scheme of certain things, like the carpet and stuff, it should hit your buttons for anger, for frustration.
No.
I swear to you, to God.
Oh, my.
Certain colours and certain arrangements press the anger button psychologically without you knowing. It's like subconsciously.
My mind is blown. I've never felt physically attacked by someone's interior design before. That is an absolute liberty. That's so bad, Darren.
I know.
No.
Lawrence
Llewellyn
Bowen
is
fucking with us, man, and we don't even know it.
I cannot believe that. Well, do you know what? Actually, I can. Like, that was the only thing I thought from that meeting with that woman. I kind of thought, yous will put me in here and you will get me drunk and you will push my buttons and I will say something I regret. I'll have a fight with a loose woman and end up writing on the wall in Mew and Poo. Like that is, I would go full Vanessa Felton there. Like
love
I was
it.
Terrified of my own darkness, I think, in a situation like that. And I think a lot of people expose sides of themselves that they aren't particularly proud of and they do regret, but you, mate, like, you thrived in there and we all seen this different side of you. So again, like, that must have been a look. You know, in situations where people, like, doubt you or a lot of people have a hard time, you really flourish. You're a bit like a phoenix from the ashes, aren't you?
Phoenix from the flame. That's nice to know. That is a nice analogy. It was incredible. I mean, I'm in the top three in a show that primarily is voted by, you know, young people, girls or whatever. It did open me up to a completely new audience. And I was so flattered that I came third, you know what I mean? And that night that I stepped out of the Big Brother house, and I do go a little bit goosebumps because I hadn't had a reaction like that from a crowd for a long time. You know, back in the day, yeah. But, you know, I caused a lot. I'm a realist. I caused a lot of damage to my career and my brand name. And when you're in there, you don't really know how it's going. And I was never up for eviction. So I never heard, when my name was, I never heard the crowd boo or cheer.
And you couldn't get that indicator. I totally understand.
So when those doors open, what, are they going to boo me? Because you don't know what the fuck has been shown, do you?
Yeah, your little heart must have been in your mouth.
I walked out. When I got the chair and I see all these banners up, go on, Daz. I cannot tell you. I know it's a reality show and it's, you know, it's not like a serious thing in the perspective of life in general. It absolutely made me so happy.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you know, people will come up to me in the street and say, I've really changed my opinion about you. I thought you were the womanizer, the drug taker, the drinker, whatever. And then young people, like, I get girls going, you're a DILF. Now, even though I knew what a MILF was, I remember Steph Davis. I was with Steph Davis one day and we looked at the social media, long after Big Brother. And I said, what's a fucking DILF? And she went, are you fucking stupid? I went, what do you mean? She said, well, what a MILF is, so work it out. And I went, oh, fuck. So it kind of, I mean, my daughter finds that hilarious. But I'll tell you the thing that meant the most to me. Young teenage boys who came up and went, fucking hell, mate, you're a fucking ledge. Fucking ledge, mate. And, you know, in my career and at this point in my life, the fact that teenage geezers thought I was all right, I was really flattered, genuinely, you know. And so it was a really happy experience for me.
Well, honestly, Darren, so you should be like, that series was amazing. You were incredible in it. And you're right, you did. You got to show a different side of yourself, a side that you could be proud of. And I think, like, nobody understands that more than me. I went from Geordie Shore, a side that a lot of moments and a lot of my behaviour I couldn't take pride in, to the jungle. And everyone got to see, like, there was a different side to Vicky Paterson. So I can completely understand where you're coming from. And if anyone deserves it, mate, it's fucking you.
Bless you. Thanks. I mean, look, the jungle, Vic, I'll be honest with you. I was on a come down. I was absolutely fucked off my tits when I got on the plane to Australia. But I think I slept 24 hours. I come from a party.
Yeah.
Hootie
as you do.
You know?
Leaving anyway, party, you know, got to give you a good send-off.
So, I mean, when I look back at it, I don't ever want to watch it back, but every now and again, someone's put something on social media. My behaviour was so fucking erratic. Because it was the first, I hadn't been, and this isn't funny, I'm not going to laugh at this bit, but I had been using and drinking from the end of 1996 up until 2002 when I did The Jungle. Mm-hmm. I had never gone 2 weeks without anything.
Wow.
On day three of being in that jungle, I was really struggling.
Oh, mate.
So Big Brother for me was my redemption.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to go in there as a sober man, as a dad, you know, and as a guy who looks back now on that fucking Darren Day from way back and thinks, what a fucking cunt you You know, if I'd have been the public, I'd have fucking hated me as well.
This, like, before, honestly, we're going to wrap at the end of part. We're going to wrap part one in a second, I promise.
Okay.
I just want to say, like, you're self-depreciating, you're real, like, how honest you are able to be about that now. Like, it's very brave, but also, like, I always say, like, we're under no obligation to be the same person we were 10 years ago, 10 months ago, 10 weeks ago, even 10 minutes. As like, as humans, as individuals, we grow, we learn, we change, we evolve, and hopefully we get better. Like, yes, we may stumble and have setbacks, but ultimately we're all just trying, aren't we, to be better. And like, your journey, your evolution from Darren in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out If You Have To, Darren in Big Brother, is nothing short of incredible. And don't let anybody take that away from you, mate. Like, you are a dilf. Oh, I'm not going to lie. Like, but it's one of the, it's right you. Down on my list of things I'd call you. Right at the top, I'd say very brave.
Bless you. I really appreciate you saying that, Vicky. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Right, Darren, will you join me in part two where we talk all things love life?
Of course. I've got a lot to talk about on that fucking subject.
It has to have its own fucking part. It's that big dance, lad.
It's his own fucking postcode.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.